I wonder where you are at your best, where you're at your most comfortable, where you are, yeah, in the space where you feel this is who I am. Sometimes when I think about where's the space I'm most comfortable, I turn to a pair of tracksuit pants in a beanbag, on a couch or watching TV, just relaxing. But you know, if I'm honest, the place where I feel the most me is when I'm surrounded by people who know who I am, where I'm comfortable with what my purpose is, when I'm comfortable with who, where I fit in and how I am supposed to connect, and that's where I'm most comfortable. Maybe that's where you're most comfortable as well too, where people know you, where they love you, where they care for you, where you understand what your role is, what your purpose is. That usually makes us feel comfortable, makes us feel like we're in the right space. We're in the zone if we're talking about a sporting analogy. You know, it's God's desire that you understand all of that stuff in Him. God wants you to be in the zone. He wants you to know your purpose. He wants you to know who you are. He wants to know you to know where you fit in. He wants to know that you are loved. And when we're in that space, we're at our best for living. We're at our best for living in our workspaces, in our schools, in our sporting clubs. We are at our best because we are most comfortable in who we are, who we've been created to be. You're comfortable in your own skin, people say. I think we all know what it's like to not feel that. But God's desire through is that you understand who your identity is and that your identity is in Christ. You are loved. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a purpose. You were chosen. You are set apart. You were adopted by Him. That's what God wants you to understand at the deepest level so that you go, I'm okay with who I am. And so we've been over the last couple of weeks, we talked about how God sees you. Last week we talked about, hey, sometimes our feelings and our thoughts and our ideas, they don't match up with what God says. And therefore, you know what, I'm going to submit my feelings and my thoughts and my experiences. I'm going to choose to submit them under who God says I am. And God is going to be, the Word of God will be the authority in my life, not my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions, which aren't bad necessarily because God gave us all of those things, but in a lineup of what's more important about the Word of God on my life or how I feel and my experiences, I'm going to bring them under the Word of God and what God says about me. That's what we talked about last week, submitting our life to Him and to His Word. And so today I want to talk about living a little bit in that space and how do we move forward. And what does that mean for us as we live in the space of identity? And, one scripture I want us to have a look at today, if you've got your Bible, is in John chapter 1, verse 35. And we just mentioned a little bit about, you know, we're at our most comfortable when we are known, when we are well known. Well, God knows us really well. He should know us. He made us. And yet sometimes that's a surprise to us. Certainly in the story that we're about to have a quick look at, Nathanael was surprised that God knew him. But once he understood that God knew him, knew all about him, but still loved him, well, he was prepared to put down everything and follow him. That's God's desire for you and for me. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says this, under John's disciples following Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" I don't know about you, if I was following Jesus and he turned around and said, "What do you want?" I probably would have gone, "Oh, nothing much, just stalking you, just chasing after you." They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. This is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means translated is Peter. All of a sudden, they're finding out who their identity is in Christ. They've been living life thinking, "This is who I am." But Jesus turns up. They recognize who Jesus is. And Jesus says, "This is who you are." You know, today, as we've experienced over the last couple of weeks, Jesus says to each one of us, "This is who you are. Child of mine, this is who you are. Fearfully and wonderfully made." It goes on in verse 3. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the one who is coming, the Messiah. We found him." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. That's just a little bit of byplay slight on Nazareth. In Australia, we might say anything good come from Tasmania. But it's just Nazareth. It's okay. "Come and see," said Philip. I just got a bad look from one of our Tasmanians. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep my eye on my word and I'm just going to keep looking down. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Hey, here truly is an Israelite whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael, coming towards Jesus, he's been sitting under a tree. Jesus knows exactly who he is. He says, "Hey, Nathanael, how do you know me? You saw me. I saw you before you came. I saw you. I saw you." And with that, Nathanael says, "I'll follow you. You're my Lord and my Savior." If we understand nothing from the last 3 weeks, understand this: God sees you. He knows you, and he calls you by name. You know, the day that I understood that God knows everything about me, my warts, my failings, my successes, my championships, and he said, all through all that, he said, "I love you, despite all the rest." That's the day I go, wow, this is the space to be in. Nathanael understood that right there. This is the space. This is Jesus. He knows about me. But he still calls me. That's the space we're called to be in today, people, where Jesus knows all about us. There is no better place to be than having someone know all about you, because you don't have to try and hide from them. They already know it. Yeah? That's good, isn't it? Transparency is scary, but it's also very freeing. It's very powerful. Nathanael understood that, and that's what we need to understand about identity, that God sees you and he still calls you by name. He says, "Come, follow me." He calls us to live and to live freely. That's good, hey? Not bound up like the stuff we talked about in the previous weeks. So I want to just share with you today 4 quick things about what it means to live with him, what it means to live with him in the identity that he has given you. And the first one is this: we live for him. Once we understand our identity in Christ, we live for him. We actually live for him. We no longer chase after the desires of our own heart or our own flesh. Instead, we seek what he has for us. Psalm says, "I will give you the desires of your heart." The reason that the psalmist wrote, "I'll give you the desires of your heart," is because the desires of our heart, once we're seeking after Jesus, his desires become our desires. So of course he's going to give us the desires of our heart, because they're actually his desires, because I'm chasing after him. I understand who he is and my full devotion is for him. I'm no longer divided between trying to get my likingness and my intimacy from other things. I'm now only getting it from Christ, and therefore my heart is towards him. We live for him. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." When we try and get our identity from the things in this world, they pass away. 1 Peter tells us it's the word of the Lord that lasts forever. So our identity, once we understand who we are in Christ and we're moving forward, we don't need to worry about getting identity from other things. We are focused. We are one-track players. Our focus is on Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't enjoy life. That doesn't mean that we don't chase after, you do well in your career. It doesn't mean you don't do well in your sporting pursuits. It doesn't mean you don't do well in your community. It just means understand that's not your identity. That's just something you did. That was a joy in your life. Your identity is in Christ. And when we have our identity in Christ, we can live for Him. And when our identity is in Him, we're not crushed by our failures. We're not crushed by our weaknesses. We don't fall into pride because of the things that we succeeded in. We don't despair over disappointment or tragedy, because that's not where my identity lies. My identity lies in the rock solidness of Jesus Christ that never moves. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I can live fully for Him. I love the story of Burhart Langer. If you're a golf enthusiast, Burhart Langer put his whole life and identity into winning majors. Majors are the four big tournaments in golf. It's a bit like tennis if you're a tennis person. Not many people win majors because there's only four every year. Burhart put his whole identity in winning a major until he won two, and he said, there's got to be more. Is this what it is? Is this it? And that's when he found that actually Jesus loves him, whether he won majors or he didn't win majors. And his identity was in Jesus, and he went forward. He gives us stable and eternal hope in a world of unstable hopelessness. That's what Jesus does. He allows us to live for Him when we understand our identity. Second thing we do as we walk forward with Him is we take life head on. When we understand our identity, we take life head on. You know, in our world today, there are lots of things to be fearful of, aren't there? If you've turned on the news lately, you could think it's a horror show. We see war over here. We see family. We see tragedies. You know, the reporting of news is now more gory, more in-depth than it ever has been. Before, they might have said there was a home invasion. Now they say there's a home invasion, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. And they give us all the details, and we sit there sometimes going, whoa, this is terrible. But you know, when we understand our identity in Christ, we no longer need to fear the future. We need no longer to fear the future. We don't need to live withdrawn thinking we just got to keep away from people. No, no, no. We understand our identity is in Christ and my future is in Christ. And therefore, I can live out freely. That means I don't need to fear. Because even in death, I have freedom. Wow, even in death, I have freedom. Paul reminds us of that. Therefore, I can take life head on. Romans, if you've got your Bible still, if you hadn't thrown it away after the first verse, Romans 8, verses 14 and 15 says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption, the sonship, and from Him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father." We have adoption in Christ when we come to understand our identity is in Him, which means if our Father is our Heavenly Father, we not need to fear the future. We can embrace the future. Isn't that good? We're not a reclusive community. We are a progressive stepping out community. We have something to offer. We have nothing to fear because we have peace in God. If you watch average TV, is anyone a purveyor of average TV? No one's going to admit it. They're very good. Someone said they were. That's good. There's a show all about doomsday preppers. And these doomsday preppers think that everything is terrible, that it's all going to go down in a basket. And so they store up everything and they live life locked down and they do gun practice and they store up their cupboards because it could be terrible. Can I tell you, if your identity is in Christ, your future is secure. You don't need to live in fear. You can eat the food. You don't need to keep it all in the pantry. We are equipped for Him, for all that He confronts us. In Christ, He is enough. You have enough. Christ is in you. That is your identity, and He is enough. Our identity in Him gives us access to God, who is our provider. No one gets to the Father except through me, Jesus said. Well, guess what? When your identity is in Christ, you have access to the Father who is the provider. All things are taken care of. Is that good? They're not always taken care of the way we like them. And so we say, oh, I like it to be just packaged nicely because I'm... No, no, but it says that you'll be taken care of, you're provided for. That's good. So we can take life on head on. We are free also to be ourselves is another thing that we are. We're free to be ourselves. We have no need to judge or compare ourselves to other people when our identity is in Christ. You know, judging and comparing ourselves to other people is tiresome and burdensome. And all it does is bring you negativity on your own life. Because there's always someone who is better than you. there is always someone who is doing things greater than you. There's always someone you can pull down. There's always someone you can pass judgment on. All that does is bring bitterness to your heart and to your soul. But when your identity is in Christ, you're free to be you. Did you know you is pretty good? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. You is pretty good. God made you, and he stepped back and he said, it is good. It is good. You are good. Don't need to compare and judge ourselves to other people. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have gifts and talents that are different to the person next to you. Hallelujah. But when we are bound in our identity of trying to be better than other people, that's my identity, then we're in trouble. Christ says that you are free to be yourself when you understand identity. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 8 says this. 5 through 8, sorry. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, that's 15, let's go to 14, 5 to 8 says this. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whatever we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Your identity is in Christ. You don't need to judge. You know, you all have a place in the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about the priesthood of believers. You have a place. When you have a place, you don't need to worry about everyone else getting a better place or a worse place, because you have a place. Is that good news? I remember growing up, going to conferences, and I would pray, God, make me like my heroes, and I had a couple of heroes, and it's good to have heroes, people that you look up to, but I said, God, make me like them. I want to be just like them. And I remember God saying to me one day, if I make you just like them, then the world misses out on you. Wow. And that's not an arrogant thing or another, because I'm not perfect by any stretch, but God made me. He made you. And if you spend your life trying to be like everyone else, we miss out on you, and we miss out on your gift and your talent and who God has made you to be. But when your identity is in Christ, you are free to be yourself. Wow, that's a freeing thing, huh? So we're free to be ourselves. We're free to live for him. We take life head on, and we can face hardship when we understand our identity in Christ. We can face hardship. We should not be surprised when suffering comes, but we can be confident that it will produce things of eternal value. You know, Jesus faced hardship and suffering, and the scripture says if he faced hardship and suffering, guess what? You and me will face hardship and suffering. That is part of life. Jesus' hardship and suffering brought life to this world. When we understand our identity in Christ, it gives us perspective on hardship and suffering. Now, I'm not saying that we all should look for hardship and suffering, and it's a great thing, and we should all do the moonwalk when things go wrong. But when our identity is in Christ, it gives us a different perspective on hardship and suffering. Romans 8, 16 and 17, we read 14 and 15 earlier. It goes on to say this, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." That blows me away as well. "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory." Don't think that because we're Christians that we don't have suffering. Suffering will come our way. It came Jesus' way. But when our identity is in Christ, it allows us to look differently with a different perspective, with a Christ-like perspective on suffering. So we face hardships in a different way when our identity is in Christ. Gives us a different perspective. His suffering conquered sin and death. So our suffering helps us focus on him, and one day will bring glory to him. Our suffering allows us to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and to put all our attention on him. When we understand who our identity is, we are free to face hardship and have a different perspective on it. Walking in him and in his identity is a wonderful way to walk. It's the only way to walk in freedom. It allows me to stand tall and to live life experiencing all the things that life throws at me, but not to be rocked, not to be shaken, because my God never moves, never shaken. He's never failed. He's never disappointed. And he allows me to live my life in him. That brings joy. That brings peace. You know, we live in a world that's not got much peace. God is the giver of peace. The gospel is the good news of peace. And when you understand who your identity is in Christ, wow, you can walk forward with a peace that transcends all understanding. That makes a difference. That makes a massive difference. You might think, oh, that's just living life. Yeah, it is just living life. Pretty cool way to live life. Knowing that you're secure. That your identity is in him. Can I encourage you today? Over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about identity. If today you're not sure still who your identity is, it starts with receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and your Savior. That's the starting point of identity in Christ. You can't have identity in Christ if you don't receive Christ into you. So today, if you're at that point, receive Christ into your life. If today you're walking and struggling, thinking your identity comes from other places and other spaces, which it does, it ebbs and flows for us, doesn't it? Sometimes when we're walking great, our identity is always in Christ, and other times we think, oh, we're worried about other stuff. Remember to identify where it's coming from. Submit it to him. Repent of living that lie. Ask him to bring healing to your heart. And start to understand and live in the identity of who Christ is. Read it into yourself. And today, live for him. Take steps forward. Know your life makes a difference. But live comfortably. By comfortably, I don't mean padding around you. But live comfortably knowing that you are secure in him. Live with the confidence that comes from living in him. Live from with the power and the love that comes from living in him. Be bold because you are secure. Reach out to others because you are secure. Give away because you are secure. Don't fight for position because you are secure. Live out of security that comes from your identity in Christ. We're going to finish today by watching a little 3-minute video that kind of sums up what we're talking about. And I just really liked it, and I hope it blesses you today as well.